The following podcast features topics discussed by geeks or under the supervision of nerds. Accordingly, Geek Life and its producers must insist that no one attempt to recreate or reenact any of the topics or bad impressions performed on this show.
You can't tell me when to go just because you want it. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Geek Life HQ. Merry Christmas! I'm Justin with an E.
Justin with an I.
And then tonight, Matt, producer Matt, can't be with us. He's busy. He told us to piss off, so screw him. So we filled him in with someone way better. We got Miles, the host of the Best Darn Diddly Simpsons Review Show. So Miles, go ahead, introduce yourself.
Sure, guys. I mean, you did a pretty good job, and for what it's worth, if it's easier, I'll just pretend to be Matt tonight so I don't throw off y'all's flow.
Well, it's tough to replace Matt, but I think you'll do a good job.
I'm excited, man. I'm really excited to be here. You guys said you want to talk Christmas movies on a geek podcast, and I was like, hey, I'm a geek, and I've been watching Christmas movies recently, so yeah.
Yeah. Nice. The countdown till Christmas. I've actually forgot that it was Christmas next week. And by the time you're listening to it, it'll be Christmas in a few days.
Crazy.
I know. Especially 2020 has just been a crazy year. It's crazy to think that 2020 is almost over. I feel like I'm still like in March in the first week of lockdown.
Yeah, it's definitely like some sort of weird like time lock. This has been the strangest year I've been alive personally. But, you know, hey, we're making it, and, you know, I don't want to jinx us, but how much worse could it get?
I don't know. I'm thinking, in my head, all of a sudden, it just popped in the Rocky Horror Picture Show going, let's do the time warp again.
Just a hop to the left?
Yep. That's what's going to happen on 2021.
I don't know. I'm thinking more Repo the Genetic Opera. You know, that's... That's probably more likely going to happen.
What if Y2K is just like 20 years late or 21 years late?
Wow.
I think I'd be okay with that, actually.
Yeah.
I see, like, I remember that being like all the, like, I feel like that we were afraid of that happening. And like that ended up being essentially what 2020 was. Like we all lived through just like a complete meltdown of the system. Not necessarily in like the computer bug way, but just like something on that level that we were all like, oh my God, in 1999. And then like 20 years later, it hits us like a bus, Regina George style.
Wow. I heard she pushed her. Oh, well, it's kind of funny too, because then you really find out who the people that you're around are like, and it's like, okay, you know, I've seen everything from, you know, like neighbors dropping off care packages of toilet paper and hand sanitizer to, you know, a nun that called a kid a cunt rag. You know, it's like,
wait, did you say a nun?
She said, with all due respect.
That's right. Wow. I quote Chasing Amy. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of, I may not have seen it. It's a, you know, story from a story, you know, a friend in Red Bank, you know, tells another guy.
They tell two friends and they tell two friends.
And so on and so forth. Segway, did you guys watch Reunited Apart with Wayne's World?
I watched like a minute of it. I didn't get to watch the whole thing.
Oh, I watched the whole thing.
I did not. What, I didn't even know that happened. What's
it happened. So it's kind of funny because we had maybe two episodes ago, we had Penelope Spheris, the director of Wayne's World and Beverly Hills Billies and Senseless and all that great decline of Western civilization. We had her on our show and we're talking to her about like Wayne's World and shit like that. So this really got that whole thing going, apparently, it seems like. So it's like, oh, and then Josh Gad gets in on it. And I'm like, damn. I feel like we started that.
That asshole had a little more pull than us.
Well, think about it, man. We hit it. It was kismet, because there's no way she would have done the exact same thing she just did. You know, like, good thing we got her first, because there's no way she would have repeated that appearance and been like, oh, I already talked about Wayne's World. What do I care? So,
well, not only that, we got her to say things that I don't think she said in that episode of that with Josh Gad. Because
You
got her to call Albert Brooks a dick.
Yep. Yeah, that was,
And we got her to call Rob Schneider and David Spade bitches.
Interesting.
Whiny bitches. Yeah.
Do they have a reputation for that? I haven't heard that.
Apparently, yeah.
I mean, yeah. Spade's made his whole career being a whiny bitch, so.
I fucking love Rob Schneider. He doesn't have to be a nice person. He only has to be nice to me.
This is true.
Dude, I always was, like, really tripped out when I learned the lady singer that sings X's and O's is his daughter, man.
Like, yeah.
That's crazy. Like, that, those two creatures do not come from the same species, let alone gene pool.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you're rich and you have money. You get to have attractive women. Have you seen Rob Schneider's wife? Wow.
His second wife, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I assume she was, like, created in a petri dish of some sort. I didn't think, like, there was sex involved.
She's a fembot.
I would be okay with that. I mean, they don't...
She's magically babelicious.
It's like that episode of Rick and Morty where he gets the robot pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh boy, does he. Then he just runs downstairs for the OJ. That's great. That's a fucking great one.
All right. Well, let's jump into it. We got to get to the situation at hand. Christmas. It's Christmas time. So, damn it. Let's talk about some Christmas movies.
You mean like Eight Crazy Nights?
You can talk about that one. That's more of a Hanukkah movie, isn't it?
Isn't it Hanukkah right now?
Yeah, I was going to say Happy Hanukkah, by the way. Yeah. I think that's like, I want to say it's day four.
I believe it's, yeah, day four.
Yes, I guess. I don't know.
I believe so. But does it go day, all of them are special in Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, unfortunately, I got out of the Jewish lifestyle when I got a divorce, so I don't know anymore.
Did she get your Judaism in the divorce?
No. While I was married to her, I was Jewish.
Ah, got it.
So, Jew adjacent. So.
Jew by association. I don't know that stuff anymore. I've given that lifestyle up. I went cold turkey.
Now you just light candles for, you know, your own personal enjoyment.
Yes. Now I like scented candles that make my room smell like hot chocolate.
He does it all in eights too. Everything's in the series of eight.
Pretty much.
Is there another Hanukkah movie that I'm not thinking of? Because Eight Crazy Nights is the only one that's popping up. I mean, I know we're gonna get to Christmas, but since we are,
I think that's it.
Hanukkah,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. I mean, you know, I love Adam Sandler, and, you know, he did the Hanukkah song, of course, which was always really popular when I think we're all roughly the same age. And I was a kid, that was like the shit.
Oh, yeah.
So like, it's kind of cool that he took like the, you know, his popularity and was able to swing that into an animated film. I don't think it's the best movie ever by any means, but I've watched it and it's all right.
I'm just glad
it exists is what I really mean to say.
He showed a bit of versatility, you know, doing the different voices and all that. And, you know, I like the idea.
Fucking basketball ref. So I love Adam Sandler, but there are aspects of Adam Sandler where it's just like, all right, I love that you got rich doing this, but I'm done hearing it.
I mean, does the Hebrew Hammer count as a Hanukkah movie?
Isn't that a boxing movie? No. I know what you're talking about.
Adam Goldberg.
I'm talking about that. Adam
Goldberg and Andy Dick.
Yep.
I haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah.
Santa, I forgot about that.
His evil son is Andy Dick.
Daddy.
You got that one. I can't really think of anything else.
I
Googled it real quick, and actually it says an American Tale is a Hanukkah movie.
Interesting.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like the prequel to Five Goes West?
Yeah.
Is that American Tale?
Yes, that one.
It's so funny because that dealt with like a terrible historical event, you know, from Russia, where they were systematically trying to kill all of the Jews there. It was called the pogroms, and it was like, then they had everybody, you know, immigrating over to the United States, and it just the way it was done with like, okay, they're mice, and then it's like the cats are trying
the
to kill them. It's like
are their cats.
Yeah, it was so interesting, and like for like a childish mind, you know, in like 1984, and I'm watching this, I'm like, I think there's some bad stuff going on around here.
Something gets off about this fun movie about cats chasing mice.
Well, you know, people getting their eyes slashed out, and you know.
Well, you know, Steven Spielberg was a part of that movie, right?
Well, he was producer, and it was a Don Bluth animation, so yeah.
So, full disclosure, for me personally, I was way more into Five Will Goes West as a kid than I ever was the original American Tale.
I'm 100% on that.
I remember being way into the Gold Rush one or whatever. I think it was the Gold Rush.
Yeah, I love the Dom DeLuise. He's like, hey, Five, where are you? He's just great.
Papa.
I'm kind of with you there because the first one is pretty depressing. I just remember that damn song that he would sing that's somewhere out there.
So, you know? Don't they spoof that in Joe Dirt? Where they're like,
oh my god,
isn't that? I think they speak that.
That's awesome. Is that a peanut? That's a space peanut.
I'm your sister.
It's a frozen hunk of shit.
It's a hammy, a frozen piece of shit. Oh my god, yeah, Joe Dirt's a classic Hanukkah movie. Is that what we're talking about? Classic Hanukkah movie.
I'm sorry, you said you wanted to talk about just any movie, right?
Yes.
So wait. One thing that I wanted to bring up while we were setting everything up, I said I wanted to talk about movies that take place at Christmas but aren't Christmas movies. So everyone talks about Die Hard, but I'm like, you know, there's also Gremlins, Batman Returns.
I was going to bring up Batman Returns. I was literally just talking about it a little bit ago, and I personally think that qualifies as a Christmas movie just because of the set dressing alone. Yeah. Even the girl he saves, the model person that's like pushing the plunger to light up the trees wearing Santa Mrs. Claus outfit. Yeah, totally. I also think the thing with Die Hard, and I know this one is always like debated heavily and all that good stuff. And I know our mutual friend, Patsy and Ashes over on Throwdown Thursday had like done this thing where they basically determined that essentially, I think they determined that like Christmas movies don't exist was their out, which I thought was interesting, but wrong. But that's fine.
Agreed.
But Die Hard, Richie and I actually just covered this last week. We talked about it in depth. To me, Die Hard is 100% absolutely, without a doubt, a Christmas movie. For one, it's set completely around a Christmas party. It to me, I also associate it because I watch it at Christmas, but I think that Christmas movies to some extent are definitely a personal thing just because like if you watch Good Burger every December, like for whatever reason, because it was a family quirk, then Good Burger is a Christmas movie to you. And that's totally fine. Like I'm with that, but I think it's a weird debate that people, I think it's weirder than pineapple on pizza, which I don't understand why people get upset about, frankly, but it seems to be just like one of those things that people love to fight about. And, Die Hard, Batman Returns, both of those to me, will always be Christmas movies. And they give me that sense of holiday spirit.
See, one that I throw in that within the Die Hard like realm is Lethal Weapon. Lethal Weapon.
Absolutely.
The definitely the best Christmas movie dealing with suicide for sure. Like no question. I can't think of a close second in my mind.
Yeah, he was like halfway there.
Yeah.
he ate a gun on multiple like shots in that movie. He's just like thinking about it. But yeah.
And that's young. I would agree.
I mean, like the opening sequence where they're at the tree shop is so memorable. They're, you know, they're undercover pretending to buy the trees or whatever. I would give you that. And I would also, going back to Die Hard, not to like hammer on it, I would argue that Die Hard 2 is more of a Christmas movie than Die Hard 1.
I'm trying to think which one. Die Hard 2, what was the premise of that one? I'm having a
brain. It's Die Hard 1, but with more Christmas decorations and set at an airport instead of a town.
Okay, yeah, that's the one. I was thinking Die Hard 3 was the one with the plane. But okay,
so that's the first non-Christmas Die Hard, in my opinion. And then, of course, Live Free or Die Hard is a 4th of July movie. And then whatever the atrocious piece of shit that came after that one is a never-to-be-watched movie.
Yeah, we don't talk about that one.
Yeah, that one. In fact, I'm pretty sure that one was it was just something that was thought about but never actually officially released.
Yeah, it's kind of like how when people talk about Star Wars and they bring up Rogue One, I'm like, that movie never happened. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like,
we just don't like it. I mean,
I don't hate that movie, to be completely honest. I don't love it, but it doesn't bother me. I don't know.
I have yet to make it through that movie. I fall asleep every time I watch it.
I like the last 5 minutes, and that's really it.
What did you guys think about Solo?
I loved it.
I loved Solo. That was great.
Okay. I freaking loved it.
That's cool. Yeah, I thought that one. I thought they were both average. So like, I guess I'm like the median score of your like your opinions on both films.
I'm not really a huge Star Wars fan, so that's also that's the thing. It's like like it. It's there, so I don't deep dive into it, and I'd be like, well, that's a this type of alien with this. Now, Star Trek, I might be like, oh, that's an Andorian, or you know, that's a.
Oh no, maybe might be like that. You're that guy with Star Trek.
Maybe if instead of being like space monsters from the past, they were like, I don't know, mutated animals that like got into some sort of ooze. Like, I'd find that far more interesting of a lore to dive into personally.
Please go on. I'd love to hear it.
maybe if it's a movie about a tongue and it pulsates and grows baby tongues.
What? Look, if we could go like 5 minutes without doing a Wayne's World reference, I would be surprised. Yeah. But I mean, it's like
all right, Wayne's World 2, isn't that also a, or what? There's a scene in one of the Wayne worlds that definitely has to do at Christmas time.
I think that was, I think it was 2.
Yeah.
Well, I know remember. they did a holiday special. It's a Wayne's World after all. Yeah. So I know they did that. I want to say on like MTV.
That's awesome. Actually, yeah. I did not know that.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. I forget if that's the one where he calls out Kurt Cobain, and then it's like a week later he shot himself.
Ooh,
unrelated, but still.
He really, blew that one.
He's like, is he saying, hey, Wayne, why don't you come down to the studio, buddy? <He's>
like, all right, let's get back to the topic again. We got
Is Nirvana a Christmas band?
Obviously.
All right, I can hear Justin's gonna kill me every here. I already talked too much.
No, actually, this is how our show typically goes.
Oh, pretty much, yeah. Christmas
movies that I'm like, yeah, no, I'm trying to keep it on track.
Over under right now is to talk about at least three Christmas movies over the course of the next 4.5 hours. So if you're a betting man, over under is set at 3.
All right, so. Let's just move on to, let's just talk about movies that are Christmas movies that like you love. Let's
like Scrooged.
God, easily the best version of that whole story. That's my favorite version of A Christmas Carol, easily.
So good.
Oh man.
Justin loves it. He references it all year.
I love it. I like to go up to people and go, "I care." You know.
Just like a psychopath.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ghost of Christmas Past, I think, in that one. That's the like lady witch fairy person.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Oh my God,
Carol King.
Goddamn funny in that movie, dude. Like that whole movie is great, but I know everybody goes gaga like over the Muppet version of that movie, and to be completely honest with you, I don't love it. I don't even think I've seen it all the way through. It's just eh.
Justin, but you know who's Scrooge, in that movie, right?
But Scrooge, man, like that's
Michael Caine.
I know.
It was Michael Caine, yeah, and he's saying
Scrooge is so good, and it's partly because the cast works so well. And I mean, you have guys like John Glover who come across as like, oh, I'm Preston, I'm this California health plate bullshit guy. Everybody fucking hates that guy. You know? And yet it's like that's the guy. It's like, you know him from all these other places. Like he on Batman, the animated series, he played the Riddler. You know, he played the devil in a movie, in a show called Brimstone. He was just the father in the movie Shazam. Like he's been everywhere. Like, you know,
been
him
around. Yeah.
You see him and you're like, oh, that fucking slime ball from Scrooge. Damn it. I hate that guy. You know,
you just like it. 'Cause Bobcat's in it.
Oh,
he's
I do.
He's great in that movie, dude.
That's his best role. Better than Shakes the Clown. Better than Shakes the Clown.
I think it's obvious, like, it's almost, like, not even worth mentioning, but at the same time, Bill Murray is phenomenal in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he usually is, but, like, also, I think Bill Murray is the type of comedian that, like, he's very, very funny, insanely talented, was incredible all the way back on SNL and all that good stuff, but in terms of movies, there's been a few films that he's been in where it's just like it didn't fit his humor well. Like it would have been better suited for somebody like Robin Williams instead of Bill Murray. But like when he lands like in Ghostbusters, man, nobody else could possibly have filled that role as well as Bill Murray did. And like this is another one of those roles in Scrooge where he just has that very, like, he plays these characters that are insanely unlikable, but also endearing somehow.
Yeah, which I think is just him personally. That's just him.
Mm-hmm. Well, you feel for him too. Like, they do a great job of building him up from when he's a kid, and you see that, you know, his parents are, you know, kind of detached, and he was raised by TV, and then he's making his way through the world, and they do a really good job in that movie establishing who Frank Cross is as a character.
For sure. Let's talk about the real reason that movie was so successful is because of Robert Goulet.
Oh, obviously. I thought you were going to say Robert Mitchum, but...
No, Robert Goulet. Anything Robert Goulet touches turns to gold.
All I can think of is... Jingle bells, Batman smells, Robin laid an egg. Ooh, sorry, kid. Your manager says for you to shut up. See, I can't stop the Simpsons quotes. Jeez. Nah. I'm glad you're here for
close my to my heart, man.
Yeah. Let's talk about another great Christmas movie that has two
Ghostbusters 2. Sorry.
Well, actually, there is a Ghostbusters character in the one I was going to mention. That's Trading Places.
Yes. Great idea. Great, great movie.
I mean, how can you not?
And it is
$1.
I thought it was a Thanksgiving film, isn't it?
I was actually just about to say, I'm almost positive that one's like the only Thanksgiving movie.
No, Thanksgiving is Planes, Trains, and
Automobiles. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Oh,
you're
it's right. Christmas time, because remember Dan Aykroyd's dressed as Santa with the salmon in the beard?
So it's been a long time since I've seen either of those films, if I'm being honest. Like, I'm saying decades at this point.
Oh, you got to go back and watch Trading Places.
I should. You're not wrong.
Patsy and Ashes did just do this great, really awesome episode. It's like a 2-hour episode on Trading Places. You should check that one out.
I'll have to revisit the film too. But so I definitely am more of the era of like the early 90s stuff. Like my go-to favorite, hands down, is Home Alone.
I just watched that the other night.
Same, actually. Yeah, and that's one of those. I always watch Home Alone 1 and Home Alone 2. I love them both. They're both insanely stupid in so many ways, and like how unbelievable they are. And the second one, in hindsight, watching it now, is so clearly a 90-minute commercial for the Talk Boy. But I'm fine with that. And frankly, I still put a Talk Boy on my Christmas list every single year. So, you know, one of these days, Grandma's totally coming through.
Actually, our buddy Matt, who co-hosts the show, actually, I believe they just bought a Talk Boy this week.
Did they really?
Yeah,
I think it's funny because nowadays, like, we all have more capability of that on our phones at all time. But like at that era, and like what I think I want to say it was 94 that movie came out. And at that time, it was mind blowing the creativity, the mastermind pranking level of Kevin McAllister. And I'm not ashamed to admit that he was an idol of mine, very much like Bart Simpson of that era.
Oh, yeah. See, I was lucky enough, I got the Talk Boy for that Christmas. I remember it, and I love that thing.
Did you almost get your uncle beat up by, like, a hotel staff member or anything?
Absolutely.
I think I had spy
Did you get
tech.
To meet the president?
The other Did you, Justin?
No, I didn't.
Well, then you weren't using your Talk Boy correctly, sir.
I know.
I'll take that regret to my grave.
I was too busy fighting off the sticky bandits.
You know, I was a bigger fan. I think the wet bandits was a funnier idea than the sticky bandits. Yeah. But the sticky bandits was more profitable, technically.
They made some money from it.
They made a little change.
Yeah, and you think about it, as being a wet bandit, he lost his gold tooth. So
that's true.
That's even more of a net loss.
That's going against the bottom line right there. Yeah, you're going to have to put that under the expense column.
Yeah. Nothing beats a good bookkeeper joke.
we just got a fucking rib cracker for all of your accountant listeners out there.
Justin, do we have accountant listeners?
Is that on your guys's like analytics page when you look at your podcast? Because I don't have that. I can only see what country you're from.
Yeah.
Not what job you have.
We can see semi demographics, but we don't get to see employment demographics.
Mm.
14. I'm sure it would be pretty consistently unemployed.
I'm guessing we just boosted your accountant listenership by 2.7%. Somebody out there listening, tell me if I did the math right.
So, nice. So an accountant listener listened for about 20 minutes and turned us off.
Yeah.
So a movie that's a Christmas movie that I think everybody watches this time of year too is National Lampoon's.
Oh, yep. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Dude, did you know there's a sequel to that movie?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. What's the like crazy
it's,
uncle?
It's Eddie. Yeah.
Yeah. Cousin Eddie's like Island Vacation or something like that. It's awful.
I tried to watch it. I think I made 10 minutes of that movie and I'm like, I got to turn it off.
Oh, to me, that's one that's like so bad. It's good. Like I watched that one in like a fun, like, oh my God, this is campy and stupid. And I love it.
I just couldn't make it through. I just
saw him on Cameo for $999. You can get a video message from Randy Quaid.
$1,000
for Randy?
So keep in mind, if you want Ric Flair, it's $500. That's your scale. That's like, you think about this, or like $40 if you want like Kevin McDonald from the Kids in the Hall. So
I
it's
guess,
like, okay,
I guess
here you go.
Randy Quaid was like, well, if you want to beat the man, or if you want to be the man, you got to beat the man with the price tag.
Well, they both yell "woo" a lot, so. Yeah.
And I like that he knew that he wasn't quite worth double. Like that would be ridiculous.
Oh yeah, man, he is a kook too. He is just an absolute kook.
He's like, nuts, bro. Like, yeah,
he gets thrown out of Canada.
He rants now on the internet, which I guess you could just cut and paste your own Cameo if you let him go long enough.
Wow. He's just nuts. Yeah, I don't even know how to do that. It's like you think of someone who it's like, I don't know. Like, does his art suffer from this? Like, are people not going to watch Caddyshack 2 ever again because he's a weirdo, or do they just accept that he is the father from Independence Day?
Yeah. He's a hero, man.
Yeah, and they're like, hey guys, he was a pilot. He's a little cracked, or is he the dad from Not Another Teen Movie? Like, is that him?
Oh, dude, I love this. Yeah. I was just talking with a friend of mine today about spoof movies. I know we're doing Christmas movies, but we were talking about spoof movies like when they were good. And Not Another Teen Movie is definitely in the good spoof movie column.
Not Another Teen Movie actually is such an underrated movie.
100% agree. Yeah,
a lot of people have never even watched it. And I'm like, come on. I'm like, it's Chris Evans before he got huge.
Dude, that it has a cast in it too. Yeah, not just Chris Evans. There's some other people in there as well.
Ernie Presley, Eric Christian Olsen. I'm trying to think who else was in it, but yeah,
blank, blank.
Robert was in it. That was right.
I loved because that movie came out when I was a teenager. I specifically remember really liking Topless Foreign Exchange Student.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great. And that's still today legit a funny joke. Like, not the reason I appreciated it then, but I appreciate it for its humor today as well.
I loved the scene with Chris Evans where he's like, it's a banana split.
Oh, my God, dude. And I loved Varsity Blues, too, which was was what that was spoofing. And that was like, I think that might have been my favorite joke in the whole thing, because I love that whipped cream bikini scene so much in Varsity Blues.
Oh, yeah. No, and then the best friend and whatever. And yeah, no, that was such a great spoof.
The banana on the backside when they pan out.
What I was actually saying is I'm just pretending to say something so that you'll think that I said something before.
I love jokes like that too. And like writers like make fun of the idea of dialogue and like how stupid it can be in general. Like,
yeah,
I'm sorry to do this, but cutting to the Simpsons, we just did an episode, the one with Mel Gibson.
Oh, nice.
And it's so funny because at the beginning of that episode, they basically get like a free gift from the car dealership in an envelope. And then they do a scene where they cut to the Simpsons bedroom. And he's like, hey, I just remembered we had this envelope. Like, oh, weird. You would think that we would have opened that right away, but we didn't. So I guess we should now. And it's like, I just love when like writers make fun of how stupid TV is.
Oh, I know, just like, Not Another Teen Movie when he's like, I'm just supposed to stand here and be the token black guy and say things like, damn, shit. That's
and bling bling. Yeah.
And then the next scene he's like, damn, that shit is whack.
Yeah. And he's got the Dr. Hibbert like different haircut in every scene.
Yeah. Or the best thing was the gym coach, Mr. Man or whatever.
With the nuts hanging out.
Yeah.
What's the matter? Not
Miss
feeling
Anna, I do believe, because that was the style at the time to make
shaving
fun
your,
of that.
Shaving your pubic hair will not rid you of crab infestation.
Hey, that is solid advice for what it's worth. So that movie is not only funny, but also educational.
I learned all that from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Though I am going to go out on a limb here, and I know this is a controversial idea, but I don't think Not Another Teen Movie is a Christmas movie. I'm sorry to say.
It's
a Christmas movie.
It's a hot take, but okay.
Is there a good Christmas spoof movie that I'm not, like, I know we've got Scary Movie. I know there was Holiday Movie, which was fucking awful. That was in like the We Are or Meet the Spartans era of like bad spoofing and whatnot. But I'm trying to think if there is ever a really good Christmas parody movie.
Probably like a Bugs Bunny or something like that. Like maybe South Park did it, but
Park's got some incredible holiday episodes. My absolute favorite I'm going to contradict myself because I've got like six favorites, but I think for right now, I'm going to say my absolute favorite is the Satanic Christmas Critters.
Oh my God.
Holy crap, dude.
That I just love that. They sing their little song and then they stop and go, "Hail Satan."
Hail Satan. I just saw on Facebook this incredible holiday display. Somebody decorated their house with the holiday critters, and like during the daytime, they look all peaceful and loving, but they all have like red eyeball like lights, and so at nighttime they look demonic as fuck. And it's so Chris. Daytime it's like cheery and wonderful, and nighttime it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, the Woodland Critter Christmas. That's what it was.
Christmas. And then, like, I personally love the South Park Christmas Mr. Hankey's Christmas Classics.
Oh, yeah, that's a classic.
I actually love that, like, album as well as that episode. The episode's fun, but the album actually has more on it than could fit into a 23-minute episode.
Wow.
And then they also had Merry Christmas, Charlie Manson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great one too.
And Red Sleigh Down, where the terrorists are shocking Santa's balls.
Oh my God! Yeah, that's like season four. That's a while back.
Yeah.
Wow.
Santa's balls.
And I feel like since we've gone into the holiday television area, I know we're totally going to segue back to movies. I can feel it. It's going to happen any minute.
Well, whatever.
Now,
talking about Christmas.
I of course have to bring up the holiday episodes of The Simpsons. My personal favorite is Marge Be Not Proud, where Bart steals Bone Storm. And I just think that's such a beautiful episode in general. Like, it's really funny. Humor is top notch, but it also does the Simpsons heart, which we talk about a lot on the show, how much, it's more than just funny. There's a lot of, really, it tugs at your heartstrings is what I'm trying to say. And like the feeling you get from Marge's disappointment is very, very real. But that ending where, if you recall, they were like taking a picture, a family portrait, and Bart gets like yanked out halfway through by security. So it ruins the picture. And like after Bart makes amends at the end, like Marge puts a little like photo of Bart in their picture. And it's like really beautiful. And then, of course, Lee Carvino's putting challenge is the parking lot. Are you sure you want to use a driver? But anyway, and then I also am going to shout out Home Improvement Christmas episodes. I think their Halloween episodes are better, but Home Improvement has killer holiday episodes in general, both Christmas and Halloween. They do a lot of really fun stuff.
You know, I know, Justin, you were big into the Home Improvement. I mean, yeah. I know I've seen them because they were on TV, but truthfully, it was like just something that I would watch because it was on. I was never like super into it. I will say one thing before I let you continue here. You better buy two. I'm not sharing with Caitlin. That's my favorite line from that Simpsons episode with the spoiled kid with this, like, the disenfranchised mom.
I'm trying to remember what they had her as in the script. It was something very condescending, and she was very much based on like a typical LA mom they talked about in the show. But, and then, you know, sticking with the Matt Groening universe, you got to give it up for Robo Santa too. In future,
oh my God,
funny shit, dude. The fact that they flipped that upside down.
didn't one of you think of Zoidberg once? No, I swear.
And that's how I'm segueing back to movies. Because speaking of evil Christmas, freaking Krampus, dude. Krampus is such an underrated Christmas movie, in my opinion. I love that film. It's technically a horror movie, of course, but it is set at Christmas time. And it is super fun. Even the corniest effects, like the gingerbread man attack and like the weird puppet thing, all of it is like silly, but also like such a fun watch.
Well, I mean, that's a huge genre, right? For Christmas horror.
Yeah, yeah, 100% it is.
There are a lot of them. Yeah,
Jack Frost, gingerbread man, Santa's sleigh,
Black Christmas.
Yep.
The Michael Keaton version or the horror version?
I don't acknowledge the Michael Keaton version. No, actually, Kelly Preston was in that. Oh,
nice. I just found out, and this totally makes so much sense to me, but Michael Daughtry was the director of Krampus, and he also did Trick or Treat. And, like, looking at those movies side by side, I'm like, oh, that totally makes sense. Like, it's like the Halloween and Christmas version. I do, too. I think that's an underrated Halloween film or a horror film. But
I think that's, like, the best Halloween film.
maybe Halloween outbeats it, but I do see where you're coming from and definitely can see an argument for it. But Krampus is really good. And then, like, there's also a slew of really bad, but, like, to the point that they're pretty good holiday movies. Like, for instance, I just watched Santa Jaws.
That was okay.
Yeah. Total B movie budget, is abysmal. Awful effects, but like ultimately a fun ride. I would recommend it for like, you know, smoke a bowl or two or have some holiday cheer and have a good time with it.
Hey, it's legal here, yeah. So
yeah.
Oh yeah, I totally meant only where legally appropriate or whatever.
One new Christmas movie that I want to watch that looks kind of gritty is Fat Man with Mel Gibson.
Yeah, that looks really good.
That looks really good and kind of dark and gritty.
Interesting. Since you said dark and gritty, I have to say Bad Santa is also another one
we
that
talk
I
about that all the time.
Love.
Oh my God, you get us started on that. So Miles, one of the things that we really like to do is we like to do impressions. So that's like you'll hear it through. Like I do Andy Dick, you know. And a lot of times we throw those out. That's one that I do a lot is the Billy Bob Thornton as Bad Santa.
Yeah, you do Billy Bob Thornton as Santa. I do Billy Bob Thornton in Tombstone. That's what
yeah.
Anybody got a sling blade?
I think we all kind of throw a sling blade in occasionally.
What the fuck?
But yeah, Bad Santa, obviously it's turning the whole spirit of Christmas on its head. It's a raunchy film. It literally has the Gilmore Girls chick saying, fuck me, Santa, which is probably only beat in terms of vulgarness by the crucifix masturbation scene in The Exorcist. In general, I still think ultimately that movie comes around and has a pretty overall positive message. I actually, as a former fat nerd as a kid, I really felt for that fat nerd kid in Bad Santa. And I think it's actually kind of sweet how their relationship kind of goes from very, you know, him taking advantage of him and whatnot to him, giving everything up to make sure that kid gets his Christmas wish. I think there's something really, really sweet about that in a really fucked up way.
And the kid wasn't asking for anything material. You know, it's like you could tell that he has just like this detached family and he's just this sweet, innocent kid. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's going to be the thing that sways this absolute garbage piece of crap human being, you know, into kind of changing his ways, which is... It's an awesome story with heart.
But I absolutely hated Bad Santa 2. It was not good at all, unfortunately, in my opinion.
I like Christina Hendricks, and I like the scene where he's like, your tits have got to be the most amazing thing in God's creation. I'm just like,
that's a great line. I'll give you that. Yeah. But I just, in general, I think a lot of times with sequels like that, they just waited too long. Like, like you get too far.
It's like Zombieland 2, you know?
Yeah, a great example. I thought Zombieland 2 was okay, but definitely nowhere near as special as the first Zombieland.
Oh yeah.
Speaking of Bill Murray movies.
Yeah, speaking of Bill Murray.
That was the best part, though, like at the end.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, yes, yeah. Well, I don't know. I actually got a huge kick personally out of the very beginning when you meet the Homer.
Yeah, exactly.
And they even did like the donut O. Like, I really like that a lot.
I could see that. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
But yeah,
did you feel catfished because they had like really taken her weight down on the poster? Then you see her and you're like, that girl's gained a little bit more weight.
On Zombieland 2?
Yeah.
I don't recall, honestly.
Or something, but it was like, yeah, we were like, what's going on with Abigail Breslin? She looks a little different.
Oh, okay. No, I did not realize that was a thing.
Oh, then yeah. I'm just a piece of trash. Don't worry.
No, you're good. No, it was I'm just more of an Emma Stone guy myself.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's true.
A Great Christmas Movie that actually just came out not too long ago. Did you guys ever watch... now I'm drawing a blank. I had it in my head just a second ago. Of course, I did forgot it. The Night Before?
Oh, yeah.
Is that with...
Anthony Mackie.
Yeah, Anthony Mackie, Seth Rogen, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yes, I love that. That was one that I was going to bring up as like a more modern, like more recently came out. Which now it's probably like 10 years old. I don't even know when that movie came out anymore. But it feels more recent. And that's a great one.
It came out before our Office Party. I know that.
Yeah, it was Office Christmas Party is another great one that I absolutely love that movie. Blam, 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 blam. Someone getting pregnant in the parking lot tonight.
That's fantastic.
Another new one that I like is Daddy's Home 2.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, also with Mel Gibson. Wow, what's going on?
I actually like the first Daddy's Home pretty well, but I don't know if I've seen the second one.
The scene in the cabin where his stepdaughter, Mark Wahlberg's stepdaughter comes out and she doesn't respect him at all. And she's fucking with a thermostat and everyone's going crazy because the heat's up, right? And then Will Ferrell and John Lithgow are like, you need to get your house in order. You know, and they're just like berating him about this. And they're like these soft freaking, touchy-feely sort of parents. Yeah. They're just going off on him because his stepdaughter is disrespecting him and touching the thermostat. It is hilarious. It's like, it's the most I could tell you, like, that's the parent experience. And I'm like, yes, they've captured it on film.
They got it. They bottled it. That's cool. I'll have to check that one out. I would have never thought to include that, but that makes total sense.
It's definitely free streaming somewhere.
For sure. For sure.
Another great parent movie for Christmas is Christmas with the Cranks.
I watched that 2 days ago. I rewatched that one because I remember watching it like when it first came out and not liking it at all. But I was probably just like in a really cranky mood or whatever back then. So rewatching it, definitely enjoyed it more than the previous time.
I think you definitely enjoy it more with age because you relate more to it. You're like,
oh yeah.
Like the whole movie premise is like they want to go out of town for Christmas and then their daughter wants to come home, so they change their mind.
They throw like a party last minute. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I do like the tension with the neighbor. I think that's actually pretty sweet how like he's got like an old cranky neighbor, but then you find out that like his wife is like really sick, and that Christmas means a lot to her, so like that's why they're so like angry at them for not participating. And there's some really sweet resolution with that relationship as well, which is fun. I just watched it like literally right before doing this, and I don't know if you guys ever watched Nostalgia Critic on YouTube, but I watched him do it was a Christmas movie with Matthew Broderick and Danny DeVito.
Skipping Christmas.
I don't think that's it.
That's not the one.
Not Skipping Christmas. It's where they're trying Deck the Halls.
I always confuse that movie with this one.
Frank, but it's
Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito. Yeah, I couldn't think of his name. I'm like,
that movie is awful. I will say, I don't know. I remember seeing it a long time ago, and I think the most disappointing part of that is like because Danny DeVito is in. Is in the movie, you expect it to be, you know, at least watchable, but it's not like he specifically does a bad job. It's just a really stupid script idea, honestly.
Yeah, it's just a bad movie.
You can't watch a Matthew Broderick movie after The Lion King. There's nothing. Like, there's nothing.
Godzilla 2000, sir.
Yeah.
With Hank Azaria and Nancy Cartwright both in that film.
I knew Harry Shearer was in it. Because he's the one that goes, Godzilla. I didn't know Nancy was in that.
Nancy's got like a very small role in it as well. And then, of course, Hank Azaria has got a pretty prominent role in that movie.
Hey, Hermo.
Yeah. P. Diddy sings the song.
I had that soundtrack, the Godzilla soundtrack, and it was great, dude. It had Green Day remix, which was fun. Yep. It had, like, the Godzilla Wars added into Brain Stew. And then that P. Diddy, the classic guitar player. I can't believe I'm skipping on his name. Anybody?
Jimmy Page?
Yeah, it was P. Diddy. Page.
Yeah, it's Kashmir that he redid on there, and it's like Come With Me. I just remember Tim Meadows doing that on Saturday Night Live when they were like joking, and they're like, "Oh, lay down a track," and he's like, Come With Me. Okay, good. Now print that." You know. So, and I'm like, "Yeah," and we love Tim Meadows on this show. So
I made the Regina George earlier because I just watched Mean Girls, and he's in that as well, and he's got some underrated, because he's just so dry in that movie that I think his lines go a little bit underseen. But like some of the lines he delivers in that film are just so great. Like there's one in particular where like, and just like complete deadpan, he's like doing all these announcements. He's like, "I cannot wait for this school year to be over." And it's just like, it felt so real.
There's a movie that takes place during Christmas too. They have their whole Christmas.
Oh, Jingle Bell Rock. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
I've never seen the sequel to that movie. I think I'm never going to see it.
So bad. I tried to watch it. I did a roast of Regina George just the other day, and
That sounds awesome.
It was super fun. It was a great show. We've been roasting with my friend Nick Hawk. We've been doing like character roasts for the last 11 weeks. Actually, it just ended. But there's some really good ones. We ended with the Queen Bee, Regina George. So I tried to watch, I watched the first one because I love that movie anyway. And then I was like, I didn't even know there was a sequel to this movie, but I'll watch it.
I didn't even know there was a sequel.
Oh man, it's literally unwatchable. Like it's just,
guys, there's a sequel to A Christmas Story. So just,
I don't hate that. I just watched that a week ago, man. I don't hate that movie. It's like, you have to watch that with the appreciation that it was also made like way, way, way after the original Christmas Story, which is of course great. But like, it's also got like this campy, silly quality to it that I actually kind of enjoy. I like that they try to recreate like the fantasy sequences that Ralphie had as a kid with his little brother. They're nowhere near as good by any means, but it's still fun that they tried to do that.
I like that A Christmas Story was so much like Pete and Pete. Which is
I love Pete and Pete, dude. Oh my God. Yeah. Speaking of Nickelodeon,
it's just one of those things where it's like, when I saw Pete and Pete for the first time, I already had like a kind of a frame of reference, and I'm like, that's what this reminds me of. And it just kind of drew me in. And I don't know if it was because of that, because obviously Pete and Pete's wonderful. But it was just something where it's like, that always brought me there. So. I don't know if they did any Christmas episodes or anything, but
I'm trying to think back. I can't think of any specific. I know they did a lot of like Vacation and stuff like that.
They did 4th of July. Yeah. You're definitely right about that. Yeah.
But I watched a little documentary thing on them filming Elf.
Yeah. Was it the movies that made us?
That was good. That was very good.
Yeah. And they were talking about Elf and how they didn't use any CGI for the movie, which was pretty cool.
It's nuts, man. They built so much, they did all like force perspective stuff and all that. It's pretty crazy. And like, so in the original movies that made us, they do one on both Die Hard and Home Alone. Like they weren't like specifically doing holiday movies, but they just happened to do two. But then they did the holiday movies that made us, and that one's got a Nightmare Before Christmas and Elf. And yeah, I would say the Elf one was maybe of all of them, and I like the toys that made us. I like the films that made us. I like that whole docuseries. But the Elf one might have been the most interesting, just because I learned a lot about a movie that I really like.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Like the scenes were like he's in New York and stuff. They just went and shot that like guerrilla style, just like
isn't that crazy that like there's random people in the fucking Will Ferrell movie because
the guy in the red suit.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, it's Santa. Like just because they happened to be walking in New York that day, like that's crazy. Yeah, like,
yeah. Yeah, he went. He walked through the Lincoln Tunnel just
and,
by.
And then that whole. Oh my God, yeah, he's like crawling through it. But then like the whole controversy where like they almost didn't get the rights to the green suit and like they would have lost all of that footage. Like that would have been tragic, dude. Like that that would have been so so bad. But yeah, that was that one was really interesting. And then on the tangent again, sorry, but Justin, I assume you saw on the Toys That Made Us they did the Ninja Turtles and like. I knew the most about that. I know the most about the Ninja Turtles than I do of any of the other toy things that they covered. But I still felt like I learned a lot about the making of them. And like I was like emotional when the creators of the show like reconciled on that program. Like that was really fun to watch.
He is actually one of the guys that we're trying to get on the show so bad, and it's going to happen.
Kevin
like we're going to get to meet Kevin Eastman. We're going to get to talk to him and all that at some point. I am positive of it,
but that's super cool, dude.
Exactly right. It's that whole like catharsis where it's like, they just finally get back together and we're like, yay.
it was well done across the board. Again, that whole series, even the toys and films that I wasn't necessarily super into, like example, the Dirty Dancing movie. Like I like Dirty Dancing fine. It's an okay movie, but it wasn't one that I've seen 100 times or even 10 times or even.
Oh, you didn't have an older sister. Okay.
I don't. I'm an only child, so I did not have to be forcibly watched Dirty Dancing as a kid. But I found that movie process, like the making of it, to be fascinating and really enjoyed it. And then same concept with Barbie, dude. Like
the Barbie one, the
CEO of Barbie is the definition of bad bitch. Like that, oh my God, dude. Like ruthless businesswoman. Like,
oh yeah.
And like the fact that Barbie is like the empire it is it's kind of a crazy story. And also, I'm sure there's Barbie Christmas movies, but I haven't seen any of them.
There's a couple. I've seen them. So you've got Barbie Christmas Carol. You've got Barbie.
I'm going to go with either this was a childhood trauma from the older sister or your daughters.
Neither. I just really enjoy them.
He just really likes Barbie. And that's fine. You do you, boo.
He's a Barbie girl in this Barbie world.
Hey, I've seen them all. I've seen, was it the Strawberry Shortcake? I've seen Dora the Explorer. I've seen, what's the other one? My Little Pony. That was a big one. Very minty Christmas. Yeah.
Well, since we're kind of going this direction, there's an obvious one we need to talk about. And that's I Wish You a Turtle Christmas.
I Wish You a Turtle Christmas. Okay.
Are you familiar?
1987 cartoon, that one?
Not the cartoon, the live action.
I don't remember this.
I'm gonna make sure I have this right. Maybe I'm saying it wrong because it's the one that had like rap.
Okay, so
hold on. Let me look. Yeah, it's definitely We Wish You a Turtle Christmas. Let me look.
I don't know. I'm trying to find it myself.
It's live action. We Wish You a Turtle Christmas. If you Google it, first image is the cover of it. Basically, it's like a 30-minute like Christmas special that they did, very much in tune with the Star Wars Christmas special, actually, which was awful, of course. But I think the Turtles one, it's still fun. Like, it's definitely not great, but there are aspects of it that I find enjoyable. And I don't watch it every Christmas, but admittedly, I watched it with my nephews not too long ago. And that was actually really fun because they were of the age where they did not give a shit. If it's the Turtles, it can be like that crappy, like Next Mutation bullshit. And they're still like, yay, Turtles.
Yeah.
1994, it looks like. So,
So just because, you know, we're running out of time here, I do want to touch on one other, like, TV show.
Have we got to 3 movies yet? I'm just curious.
Yeah. Everybody knows what Christmas movies. Go watch them.
Feels like I'm playing with my sister's kids.
I'm playing cards with my sister's kids. But a TV show episode that everybody loves, it's a Festivus for the rest of us.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, I just had to throw that in real quick. Festivus for the rest of us. But, so yeah, okay, we're gonna wrap up Christmas time now, and we're gonna go to Week in Geek because we always talk about Week in Geek. So who, you, Miles? You're the guest, so you kick us off. What'd you do this week?
Man, like this, when you told me this segment, I was like, what don't I do that's geeky? I mean, like, honestly, like, it's the truth. Like, I mean, you guys have already talked about, I do a Simpsons podcast every week. It's pretty geeky. But I guess that I will try to stretch here. The geekiest thing that I've been doing recently is I have discovered that every season of Survivor is on Hulu, and I am currently chain watching that for good old time's sake, because I watched like the first several seasons of Survivor back in the day when they aired live. And now I'm like revisiting them, and honestly, I'm obsessed, man. Like, now I'm like, I need to audition for the show. I want to go play human chess on an island with snakes and, like, you know, eat rice and almost die for 30 days for $1 million. Like, I'm in. Let's do it.
Yeah, like, I want to go.
Well, I guess that's show better is still than going. Naked and like, Afraid. So,
yeah, I mean, like, some contestants get naked, but that's up to them. But like that, that show has still been going. It's like 20 years strong. They do 2 seasons a year. They did miss one season because of COVID, but like, it's still like going to be continue to be made. So probably the geekiest thing I've been doing. I told you before, I just got the first three issues of the IDW Ninja Turtles comics, which you're going over in your podcast, which is super cool. Haven't got a chance to read through them yet, but I'm enjoying the beginnings of them.
Now you bought the trade paperbacks, right? Because if you were to go and read like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, there's issues from like the micro series that are supposed to be like, you read issue 1, 2, and 3, then you read the Raphael series. And then you read, you know, 4, 5, 6. So if you got the books, which I think you did, that'll be in there. So awesome. It's like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
I got the whole thing then. Oh, and dude, like, honestly, like, this is the by far worst thing I do on a consistent basis is, like, because of COVID, I do stand-up comedy, but, like, a lot of our rooms are closed. So I now do a lot of online Zoom comedy, which is the definition of hell. But it gives me a chance to a chance to, you know, practice telling jokes to a semi-live audience. And, if you want to come check me out doing stand-up comedy, I do several, online shows here and there. And you can find all that at Mr. Most Days Off.
All right. Now, who promotes something like that? Is that promoted by a club or something? Or is that just like a group of comedians like in the area? You're like, hey, guys, let's just get the word out there.
Both, actually. There are clubs that do online mics now that are a lot of fun. I'm actually like, I think like literally like right now I'm on the radio in Tucson, Arizona from a show I did this afternoon.
Cool.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. That was actually... That's through the Wench Comedy Club, the Wench Comedy Club in Tucson, Arizona.
Okay.
And they did they do a weekly one. There are other comedians that have just like taken like an entrepreneurial whatever, you know what word I'm attempting to say. they have that spirit and have just kind of created these online rooms. There's been comedy festivals that have traditionally been like in person, you would actually go to the clubs, but because that wasn't really an option, I did both the Plano Comedy Festival, which is actually located usually not too far from where I live. I did that recently. And then I also did the New York Underground Comedy Festival, which was a lot of fun. They're trying to create the comedy festival experience online. They failed. You can't do that, but they tried really hard and it was a lot of fun.
One of these I voted for you. I know you had shared a link, so I was like, oh yeah, you know, I was like, it was pretty
fun.
I
appreciate
it, and I envy you because this is something I've always wanted to do. Like, I've always wanted to get up there and do something, but
there's never an easier time to get started than now, dude. You can do it from your living room or your office, or you can go hide in a spot in your backyard so nobody hears you, or whatever you need to do to feel comfortable.
I will sit in my solarium.
I still stand up. I do like a cheesy brick background, which I think it looks good. It makes me feel like I'm like actually performing. But simply put, a lot of comedians now are, you know, just sitting in their chair with their headphones on, talking into the camera, and they're still being really funny. So, I mean, it's, there's actually in some ways I've already shat on Zoom comedy, and I will continue to do so to some extent. But the truth is it also opens doors. And again, for like an open mic standpoint, If you want to get on an open mic, dude, hit me a message and I'll give you a good one to get started on. I've got friends that host them and they will, you know, help you be as successful as possible your first time. But the truth of the matter is you won't be. And that's just part
of it. Yeah, exactly.
you will fail horribly and miserably.
Yeah, it's going to be awkward and you're going to hate yourself and you'll think back on it and be like, oh God, why? But then you just keep going back and it gets better and better.
Huh, awesome. Well, check him out for some Zoom comedy. So, Justin, what did you do for your Week in Geek?
Oh, my God. What did I do for my Week in Geek? You know what I always talk about, my favorite thing in the world? I got a whole bunch of backers and boards for comics, and I sat there for like 4 hours the other night until 2 o'clock in the morning putting comics in the boards, which is it's one of the geekiest things that I do, but I just love it.
You were making noises while you were doing it too. You're like,
girlfriend's like, hey, do you want help? And I'm like, actually, I'd prefer to do this alone. So it's like, you know, just like no, okay. So
you get your greasy
mitts off. Don't
interrupt
me while I'm using the vacuum cleaning my room.
I'm vacuuming in here. So I was doing that, and we're watching the new Animaniacs, which is fucking hilarious. Nice. If you haven't checked them out on Hulu yet, they're so damn funny.
I haven't watched it yet.
I highly recommend it. It's really good. I started watching Lovecraft Country, which is really...
It's weird.
I'm not sure how to take this show. Like,
it's not bad, but it's weird.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to keep watching it. Like, it's okay. And, you know, it's got like hot chicks in it and stuff like that. But it's like, it's somewhat uncomfortable to watch because of like all the racism and stuff like that. So like, it's like, all right, where are we going here, guys?
Yeah, it's a strange, and it's weird that like each episode's like a different story almost.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I didn't thought of it that way, but
it's
yeah,
not like a continuous story. Like each episode, like they kind of hint back to the last one, but it's like a whole different episode.
I really like the lead actor in it, I think right? I'd like to see more with that guy, and that's pretty interesting. Let's see what else I've been doing. I mean, I've been going through stuff. Like I found my old card sets from the 90s. So like the Marvel series 1 through 4. And like, I realized I had a Mallrats card set, which is crazy. So I'm like going through all those like G.I. Joe and Beavis and Butthead cards and stuff.
Nice.
So, you know,
giant diorama, I picture you just bagging and sorting all this stuff.
Yep. I do have a 3-foot diorama. Absolutely. Totally true. And you know, Justin, it's so funny because that diorama was literally made for those NECA Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from the movie that you had that you sold. So it's like, you know, that's what it was made for. Now, do I use it for that? No, I've got Ren and Snippy on it, but what do you want?
It's basically the same thing.
If I come across those NECAs again, I'll let you have them. So that
dude, those are good figures, man.
I don't know. I mean, I'm getting rid of a lot of stuff and I'm like giving stuff away. I think the next thing I'm going to pick up is like the rest of those Ghostbusters action figures they have. Because someone just gave me a couple. So I've got Dana and Zool here. So we'll figure out.
Have you read those TMNT Ghostbusters crossover comics?
You know, I have not read them.
I'm really interested in them, but I have not read them yet.
I'm waiting to read them, so when I do the podcast episode, I'll be fresh on it.
Nice.
So it's kind of like that. But I have both of them, and I haven't read them yet.
I'm sure they discuss Christmas movies in that, too. It's bound to come up eventually.
Absolutely. I mean, and you think about it, we didn't even go into, like, the Vince Vaughn Christmas movies, Fred Claus and Four Christmases, and I don't know what else he's in, but, you know, I'm sure there's something else that's oddly, Starsky and Hutch, I don't know, that's a Christmas movie.
Well, we're trying to like 9 hours. There's a million comedies for Christmas.
Yeah, there are, like, a lot, honestly. Like, there's a ton of these Christmas movies, and there's not many of them that are that great, frankly, like by comparison. Oh, you know, I just watched one on the Disney Channel. It's like new last year, I think.
Was it Noel?
Yes, thank you. Great job.
That was good.
Was a great movie. Yeah, really solid.
Bill Hader was awesome in that movie as the yoga instructor and the brother.
Kendrick is always amazing. Yeah. She's just the best.
Yeah, I like to look at her. So
she's legitimately one of my favorite people to follow on Twitter. Dude, she is so funny on Twitter.
Is she really?
I didn't even realize. I highly recommend giving Anna Kendrick a follow. She's great.
Well, shout out to Anna Kendrick then.
Yeah, she needs the support, honestly. Like, don't even worry about following me at Mr. Most Days Off. I've got plenty of followers, but Anna Kendrick, she really needs the help.
Yeah, I mean, all she has is those cups to play with.
You done with your week in geek now?
You know what? I'm done, man. It was a good week. What can I say?
Well, I'll touch on a few things, and I know one of them will involve a group discussion, so I'll save it to the end. Well, this one too.
What are you trying to say?
I watched Bill and Ted, the new one. I didn't care for it. Just gonna say,
I liked it. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I thought it was just I like the acting. I like the graphics. I thought the story just fell flat.
Dude, Alex Winter killed it in that movie. He killed it.
Dude, I'm saying the acting was fine. The acting was not my issue.
The only thing I can say that I will kind of, to your point, I think, is the outcome wasn't, like, very, very obvious from the get-go. Like, you knew immediately the first time you hear them say... I don't know if I should spoil or not. I'm not sure, but you know what I'm trying to say. There's an obvious conclusion.
Spoil something, you tell the audience earmuffs.
Earmuffs?
You can tell them whatever you want then. Shit. Fuck.
Earmuffs, yeah. Basically, like, you know it's going to be their daughters because they never say their first names. They're always just like, you know, Ted. I can't think of their last names. But
Theodore,
you know,
Logan and...
Bill S. Preston, Esquire.
Yeah, Preston and Logan. They basically say Preston and Logan will be, you know, the ones to save the earth or the world the whole time. And it's just like, oh, clearly it's their daughters who are also into music. It's cool. I liked it. I liked the message. I liked the positivity. I even thought that it was a well-done girl power scene, especially compared to, like, that forced Avengers.
Endgame oh,
scene,
yeah.
Frankly, yeah. But
I yelled boo. But, I yelled boo in the movie theater.
But it was slightly tainted by how predictable it was.
Yeah.
No, that was New Mutants. That wasn't Captain Marvel.
No, Captain Marvel, you did boo.
I did?
Yes.
I like Captain Marvel. I didn't mind that one.
I like the movie. I don't like the actress.
He has issues with Brie Larson.
Okay, fair.
She dumped Scott Pilgrim, and I never forgave her.
Bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
I love Scott Pilgrim, dude. That is such a good movie. And series. I just saw there's a strategy board game. I have no idea if it's any good or not, but I want to check it out.
Oh, definitely. That sounds so freaking cool. That's
geeky. Did you guys ever play the beat-em-up side-scrolling game that came out on, like, the PS3?
Yeah, I did.
I heard they're re-releasing that, and I'm stoked.
That'd be pretty cool. That was a fun one, too.
Mm-hmm. That was a really good game.
It's like Justin, it was kind of like Streets of Rage, but not as, like, realistic.
Gotcha. I mean, I might have played it, but I don't recall.
If it was on Xbox back in the day, maybe you did. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't play too much PlayStation. I was more of an Xbox kid.
I assume it was on both, but the truth is I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I don't know.
All right, so what else you got in your Week of Geek?
Let's see. I watched the new episode of The Grand Tour that just came out today, actually, I think.
What is that?
Yeah, I'm not familiar. Grand
Tour. Did you ever watch Top Gear?
I'm familiar with Top Gear, but it's not really my thing, to be honest.
Yeah, well, the three hosts that were the very popular British version that got canceled, they signed with Amazon, and now they have a show called The Grand Tour where they do, like, these, like, 2-hour-long specials where, like, they go, like, this one was they're hunting for buried treasure. And if you ever watched them, I'd say go check it out. It's just three old guys that bicker back and forth and argue with each other, and it's hilarious, and I love them.
So, that sounds fun.
It is. It's
like grumpy old men.
Yeah, it's like grumpy old men with cars.
I mean, trust me, I watched like 8 hours of The Curse of Oak Island, and so I will probably watch anything now. So,
but I'd give it a watch, especially their older stuff. Like, go watch any of their specials. Their specials are great. The old Top Gear episodes are they're all right, but yeah, their little specials that they used to do, that's what everyone loved.
I used to watch that, like, in between episodes of Mythbusters, I think. So
that's nice. I did watch that show. You
know, I think I watched a bunch of Christmas movies that we talked about, but I want to talk about something that I've been excited about because these last two episodes have been amazing, and that's The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good call. Yeah.
I almost brought that up whenever we were talking about Star Wars earlier, because I was going to say, despite the fact that I'm not really a huge Star Wars fan, I love The Mandalorian. Like, it might be my favorite Star Wars project. Like, it's so good.
If you don't like The Mandalorian, then fuck you.
Hell yes.
Well, no, see,
yes, that quote, is a Big Daddy quote. So.
Matt, who's usually on the show, he's not a Star Wars.
Serving at 10:30. When did that happen?
I know.
Yeah, but yeah, Matt, who's on the show usually, he's not a Star Wars fan at all. He actually typically hates Star Wars. We actually had to talk him into watching The Mandalorian, and now he's hooked.
That's cool.
He actually just laid down, what, $200 or $300 for the life-size Baby Yoda statue?
Grogu, you bastard.
Grogu, sorry.
Show some spect on that name, son.
Oh, no, what was the one I sent you? I sent you guys the meme earlier, Justin. What was that one? It was the teacher from goddamn. What's the name of the show now? He's Key and Peele. He's, you know how I can never pronounce
it. Oh, yeah. Aaron. Yeah, okay, like, look. G-Rogue. It's Grogu. Son of a bitch. You done messed up, G-Rogue. That's Aaron.
But how good have the last two episodes been?
Fucking so amazing. Great, man.
Dude,
we didn't think they'd get better.
I just saw a meme that cracked me up. It was right after, again, earmuffs for two episodes ago of The Mandalorian. But it was at the end scene when they're like, you know, get shackles for Baby Yoda, essentially. I saw this great meme where it just showed a close-up of a Stormtrooper's face. And it's just like, the caption was like, wait a minute, we have baby shackles? Oh shit, are we the bad guys?
Didn't know. Oh my god. They can't be that smart. I mean, you remember the guy in the first movie that hit his head?
Boing.
Didn't they even poke fun of it the last episode when he switched and put on the Stormtrooper uniform and they're like, his aim's bad now?
Yeah, I think they even did a joke where they had like a Stormtrooper like bounce off their head like early on in the first season.
But how awesome is Bill fucking Burr though? I mean, this is, man, dude. 2020 is his year, man.
He's one of my favorite stand-up comedians in general. He actually just played here in Dallas recently, but it was an outdoor show in the cold and it was so expensive. I couldn't afford it personally. I wanted to go really bad.
What did he charge? Over $100?
It was, I want to say that like the tickets that were less than $100 sold out like instantly. Like you couldn't get them basically. It was like trying to get a PS5. But the three digit and ups, I mean, like I said, it was, he played outdoors on like one of our coldest nights of the year so far, which, I mean, he couldn't have predicted that. Texas has weird weather, but again, it wasn't going to be like the ideal experience, but I heard he absolutely killed it. And I mean, I really enjoyed his SNL set a lot. I thought he was great there. And yeah, dude, I think he's really shining. And I enjoyed his season one episode of The Mandalorian. I thought this episode was even more fun. And I love the ending with his character leaving us open to see him again down the road.
Yeah.
Did you guys see King of Staten Island?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, see, dude, he slays it in that movie. I mean, he's a divorced dad that ends up dating Marissa Tomei, who is Pete Davidson's mom in the film. So you know, he's got to go through and
anyone's mom.
What's that?
She's too hot to be anyone's mom.
It's true. Yeah, she is like in Spider-Man child came out of you status.
Yeah, like how's that his grandma in Spider-Man?
Well, that's his aunt.
Whatever.
Yeah. Well, she wanted a piece of that Mandalorian action. That's why she was dating Favreau in the show or in the movie. So there you go. Ties it back. See. So, but anyway, Bill Burr absolutely killed it. Dramatic role where he's still really fucking funny. Like when he goes off, he's like, "What are you thinking?" You know, his voice gets all high. Had season four of F for Family.
Dude.
Yeah. This is the year of Bill Burr, man.
Yeah.
Oh, Bill Burr is in Daddy's Home 2, actually.
Is he really?
Is he?
All right. Yeah, he was in the first one. I think he's in the second one briefly. Yeah.
I can't remember him in the second one.
Yeah, I think he's in it briefly, like just at a conference or something like that. So.
Oh, okay.
He's like, you know it, Terry. <He's>
But yeah,
it's this guy.
This guy.
He's our new Casey Affleck.
I don't think you can replace Casey Affleck. Not that you can replace Casey Affleck. We just like the one commercial.
The Dunkin' Nut Taps one.
Yeah, fucking, I'm the mayor of Dunkin'. So, yeah, but that's really my week in geek, dude. It's just that shit. So.
So in terms of Christmas movies, is there anything that you're going to regret leaving out? Because I know we didn't talk about
Jingle,
like,
All,
Jingle
the Way. Jingle All the Way. Yeah, 100%. Okay. I love it. So that movie, like, to some extent, like, I used to work retail, and that movie in some ways is triggering. But for whatever reason, I think they did such a good job of, like, parodying that consumerism that we do have in this country. I love that movie. That's an annual watch for me. I love Turbo Man. Oh, I think I think Arnold Schwarzenegger is, like, I don't know how to explain it. He's definitely not a comedian, but he does have really great comedic
timing. I'm a very good comedian.
Tell me you like Whitman.
How dare you?
But he does have the, like, that specific timing, and he does great. I think that an under, like, rated booster in that is Sinbad. I think that he really brings a lot out of Arnold Schwarzenegger in that film.
A lot of people don't like Sinbad. I think
love
Sinbad.
I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I absolutely don't like Sinbad. I don't think he's done really anything that I've liked, maybe with the exception of A Different World, where I'm
Guest was so good.
Now, I'm going to tell you, I have seen a lot of this stuff, and I just do not care for Sinbad. And really, I mean, I think I liked him on what, like, the Ghost of Sinbad on American Dad, where him and Jeff were flying in an alien spaceship, and I'm like, oh, this is Sinbad that I like, you know. But I don't like him.
All right, that's fair. There's this ridiculous movie. I don't even remember what year it came. It was early '90s, but House Guest. With Phil Hartman, who played, like, a dentist, and Sinbad was essentially conning him and pretending to be his old colleague and whatnot. And, like, I still crack up at that movie all the time.
Phil's in this movie, too, isn't he?
You know, he's the neighbor. You're absolutely right. So I wonder if him and like, Sinbad were, like, pals or something.
That movie you're talking about, though, that's House Guest.
House Guest, 100%, Jingle All the Way, Phil Hartman's wonderful as the neighbor, sleazebag, but, like, in, like, a very under like, low-key way.
I loved him in Three Amigos.
The only thing that sucks about Jingle All the Way is Anakin Skywalker is a shitty actor, but hey, you know what? And at least he, you know, doesn't, like, I don't know, pod race or whatever in this one.
I'm gonna get you a Turbo Man.
I guess a Christmas movie that I left out that actually I really like, and a lot of people have never seen it or heard about it, is Surviving Christmas.
Isn't that with the Sopranos guy?
Yeah, that's with James Pacini and Ben Affleck, and he's, like, a rich guy, and he buys him for the Christmas season.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember
that.
It's got
the mom from Home Alone in it.
Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I do remember liking that one as well.
Talk about the ref either.
Yeah.
I know there's going to be I haven't seen The Ref in forever. I honestly thought that was a Christmas movie.
I guess you could throw a Grumpy Old Men in there, cuz I love Grumpy Old Men, and that
the first one, right?
Yeah.
And I think you also did briefly bring up Gremlins, but that's another one that I really like a lot. But another one that's I think technically classified as horror, even though it's really not. It's Christmas.
Yeah. It's Christmas.
Yeah.
I don't get the big hubbub where people are like, oh, it's not a Christmas movie and stuff, like, why they really get into it. I don't really care. You know, it's
like, man, that's what it comes down to. And I don't understand why they keep trying, because I'm going to win. Like, they just need to quit now. No.
You can't change someone's mind. You can only give them new information so that they can make a new decision.
If hopefully they choose the right to, or decision. Even receive that information.
Yeah, exactly.
So we should steal Louder with Crowder's thing and go set up a table somewhere and do the change my mind.
Change my mind. Crowder's a douchebag. Change my mind.
We should go do that with Christmas movies. We'll go set up a table in the city. Die Hard's not a Christmas movie. It's changed my mind.
I bet you somebody's going to meme that, honestly. I bet you that one's already out there.
I'm sure I would bet.
Man, I'm trying to think if, like, I know, like, this is going to be one of those things that, like, we're going to be like, all right, that's all for this week. And then as soon as we end the podcast, we'll be like, fuck, we forgot this movie and this movie and this movie and this movie.
That's how we do that every week. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like, you're going to watch your Rudolph, your Frosty, your Year Without a Santa Claus, you know, Jack Frost, like all of that kind of stuff. Like there's those like perennial classics that you get into, you know, if you're watching a movie with your mom or something, maybe you're watching like White Christmas or Holiday Inn, or, you know, even to a lesser extent, It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life is what I was going to say. Yeah.
It's not technically a Christmas movie, but it takes place at Christmas.
It feels like a Christmas movie. It's shown at Christmas a lot. And Charlie Brown,
Yeah.
That's another one that's beloved.
Well, let's talk about Justin's favorite Christmas movie that he didn't talk about, and I know he loves it, is Madea's Christmas.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Frighteners again, and I'm like, I love Frighteners.
Event Horizon.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, there's a Christmas somewhere.
It happens at some point in their universe.
You like the romantic Ghosts of Girlfriends Past with Matthew McConaughey. All
right. I saw that bullshit in theaters, damn it.
Ooh, why?
I don't remember, but I think it commenced with me getting laid afterwards. So I think
reasonable.
Yeah. I think that's the only reason.
Yeah, that's probably it.
That was gonna be my
Emma Stone's in that one too. So
yeah.
Okay. Another Emma Stone film. So
and then you got Just Friends with Ryan Reynolds.
That is a funny fucking movie.
I do like that one, but Ryan Reynolds is a powerhouse in that regard. I mean, he's just a funny dude in general. I think he's with Amy Smart in that one, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
Not the Chris Klein one. There's one with Chris Klein that's terrible, but there's like that one is really funny.
Yeah, Chris Klein's in Just Friends though.
That's okay. All right. Yeah, he's such a dud, man. I'm like,
he plays the douchey like ex like geek band geek that became this hunky ambulance driver.
Yeah,
I feel like he's never gonna get past the American Pie role, and it's like that's his best role, and it's like there's nothing else for you, pal. You know, you tried to work with the Farrelly brothers with Amy Smart in that movie. I think it was like the one where they thought they were brother and sister and they were in love and stuff. That was a fucked up film, man.
Yeah, I do remember that one. Yeah.
Well, shit. Thinking about another movie that we didn't talk about, The Santa Claus.
Oh, dude, yeah. There you go. That's that, one. That's that the was, one.
I told you I just did that roast series, and we roasted Tim Allen's version of the Santa Claus. Was one of the characters we roasted.
Scott motherfucking Kelvin.
I like that movie. The first one is good. The sequel's not so much.
You don't like the third with Martin Short?
Did he play Jack Frost, I think?
Yeah, he did. He's so over the top. Even he couldn't save it.
Yeah, that's bad at a certain point. It's just like, I don't know. The Home Alone series also went off the rails. Like it went the first two are great, and then like the I think there's three or four more, and they are
there
bad.
Are five, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the actor from Liar Liar I share a name with, right? The kid. So his name is Justin Cooper, and he's in one of those movies. Like, that's horrible.
I love Home Alone 13.
There's almost as many Home Alones as Land Before Time's then.
Oh, wow.
I'm just kidding. There's actually like eight.
One of those is a Christmas movie, isn't it?
You're right. Yeah. Shit.
Which is a fucking weird ass crossover, by the way. I'm not much of a religious person, but if you want to go into like the concept of like dinosaurs celebrating the birth of Christ, I feel like we have some, I don't know. There's some sort of holes in that plot.
Yeah, the whole BC AD thing, you know, it doesn't quite check out.
Hey, dinosaurs coming back. You leave it alone.
Oh, dinosaurs! Like I'm the baby, gotta love me. That's coming to Disney Plus.
I'm excited. That show has one of the darkest series finales of all time, man. Like that.
We're just gonna cover it up. We never found it.
Freezing to death, dude. Earmuffs, sorry. But holy shit, dude, like that's so dark. Like that's a baby and and its family just like die in front of your eyes. Like that's crazy. Like how they, like the 90s were a hell of a time is what I'm trying to say.
And you don't gotta take earmuffs for that. If you haven't watched that episode by now, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I did just spoil something that's over 30 years old, so I think it's probably fine.
Well, you know, I remember growing up, I think I was the only kid in town that had, like, the cassette tape. You know, like, I'm the baby, gotta love me, and...
I had,
like,
the board game, dude. There is a Dinosaurs board game, and I had that as a kid. I don't remember the premise. I just remember the baby was not a playable character. I think, like, you were supposed to, like, feed the baby or do something to, like, keep the baby from, like, getting upset was, like, the premise of the game. It's been forever. I was 7 when I had that game, probably.
So then whoever you don't like ends up playing as Charlene?
Yes, exactly.
You know what's crazy about that? The mom, I remember her voice, and I'm like, holy shit, that's the mom from Archer. That's the same voice as the mom from Dinosaurs and Arrested Development and PCU. She was in PCU. I'm like,
the fact that I didn't know that makes me so angry. I want to shake my fist in anger.
Can you
blow me?
Can you blow me where the Pampers is?
Excuse me? Can you blow me where the Pampers is? Excellent PCU reference, Justin.
I used to love that movie.
Your total Mayflower material.
So, thinking about Christmas, one last thing that we didn't touch on, and I'm surprised, is SNL at Christmas, like the old 90s ones and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. I kind of forgot that they did somewhat do Christmas specials.
Yeah, like you had the Sweaty Balls.
Sweaty Balls.
Why does everyone think that's like the funniest sketch on Saturday Night Live?
I mean, it's not the funniest, but for
it's
Christmas.
Not. The Chris Farley Chippendales dancer is the funniest sketch on SNL.
That came in actually underneath this, I thought.
Weird.
It's really weird because I'm like, it's funny, but I've seen funnier, and I'm like, okay. Alec Baldwin's, you know, good on here and stuff, but it's like, this is not the funniest Christmas sketch. I'm like, there's so many better ones. None of which I can name right now.
I was going to say, I'm trying to try to come up. I know you're right, but like, damn, if I can think of any.
The only one that comes to mind that I can think of that I loved and it was Christmas was Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Oh, yes.
God. Yes, dude.
With the Cabbage Patch doll.
It's a cabbage head doll, kids.
You know what's really fun, too, is Mr. Rogers, actually the real life Mr. Rogers, actually met Eddie Murphy or wrote him a letter or something of that nature and basically expressed to him how much he really genuinely thought that was so funny. And I just thought that was like Fred Rogers, dude, is like one of these like real life characters. He's a real human being, but like he's just one of those figures in our society that like I look up to so much. He's such like a genuinely good person, and I've jokingly said before, like instead of like WWJD bracelets, like we should have like WWMR bracelets, essentially MRD bracelets. What would Mr. Rogers do is the joke I'm trying to make.
Yeah, that one came out about a year ago too, that movie Welcome
Tom
to
Hanks.
The Yeah.
Yeah. The documentary was fantastic. That movie was okay, but the documentary was so good. But like, make sure you drink plenty of fluid before going into that one, because I personally got dehydrated through my eye holes.
Oh yeah, and I'm made of stone, you know. So it's
I don't even have emotions. It's just like this movie. Mr. Rogers' documentary both gave them to me and then touched them. It was crazy.
See that in the movie Coco? I just can't do it. You get to the end and I'm like, stop it. Stop the movie. What is this? My grandma.
Charge.
It's like that movie ends like 30 minutes before it actually does, just like Old Yeller ends, you know, before the scene.
Yeah.
See, that's me. I don't cry much for, like, when people die in movies and stuff, but like when a dog's perfect, when the dog
dies. Those
die,
people.
Like,
I don't give a fuck. Kill them all.
Yeah.
But you don't even like. I don't even want you to imply that a dog is in danger. Like, in fact, like any time that there is any sort of, if the dog is walking in like traffic, I would appreciate it if the movie would break the fourth wall to let me know that this dog was in no way harmed during the filming of this movie.
Yeah, like I went and saw A Dog's Purpose with my ex, and even she looked over.
Why? What? Why? Why did you?
Why would you do?
Why
that?
Did you hate yourself?
We were together. We were together at the time. She's my ex now. That's
no, I don't care about that. Why would you go and put yourself through that movie? You knew what was going to happen.
to be fair, he does go to all movies. So.
I do go to all movies, but yeah, that one I was like, she looked over, she's like, "Are you crying?" I'm like, "No."
Are you not crying, you heartless monster?
You shrew!
she's like, the dog's just dying of like old age. It was like the very first one in the dog's purpose. No, I don't give a shit. That brought up some deep memories of my dogs.
Yeah, dude, I've got old dogs. I don't want to talk about it.
Are we talking about old dogs or wild hogs again?
that's another Tim Allen movie.
Yeah, I know. It seems to come up every 2 weeks. Which John Wick movie took place during Christmas time? That's what I want to know.
I love John Wick, but I struggle with that first one, honestly. Like, honestly, that dog kind of looks like my dog, so it makes it even worse.
Oh no, the beagle or
mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got beagles, so that was tough.
Did you see they are making a new version of John Wick? It's not John Wick. Oh, what's his name in it? Oh, shit.
It's not Common, right?
No. Hold on.
Is it Uncommon?
Oh!
I gotta look this up. I just saw a trailer for it, and I was like, what the hell? It's not John Wick. I gotta find it.
Is it like a spinoff from a character in John Wick? Is that what you're trying to get to?
No, it's...
I saw they're gonna do a new Matrix movie,
I did see that.
What's the lawyer from Breaking Bad?
Saul?
Saul, yeah.
What's his name?
David something.
Isn't it David, like Odin Link or something like that?
Yeah. Bob Odenkirk?
Bob.
Bob Odenkirk. Yeah, he plays, it's from John, the guy who made John Wick, and he plays like a retired like assassin guy who's a dad now.
Interesting.
And like goes on like a giant killing spree, killing all these people. It looks crazy. It looks like John Wick, but with like a dad.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna have to find that.
I'll check it out.
It looks good.
But I know we're running long here, so we'll probably wrap it up. Miles, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media and tell them about your show, which was lucky enough to guest on this year.
Yeah, 2020. Marge Simpson and Screaming Yellow Honkers. That was a great time. I had a lot of fun talking to you. So you can follow me everywhere online at Mr. Most Days Off. That's for basically everything. And then if you're interested in my Simpsons podcast, you can check that out at the Best Darn Diddly Review Show. That's DIDDLY. And you can find that at bestdarndiddly.com or like literally anywhere that you like to listen to podcasts. It's there.
All right. Well, thank you for being on the show and filling in for producer Matt.
Thank you guys so much for having me, man. This was an absolute blast. I would love to come back anytime.
Yeah, you're welcome. Come back anytime. And so basically find us at the same places that he can find him and find us at geeklifehq.com and have yourself a merry little Christmas.
That's right. Watch some Christmas movies and just debate with your crazy aunts and uncles on if they are Christmas films.
Yep.
And make sure there's cheese pizza.
And if they say Die Hard isn't a Christmas film, then you should throw them out of a tower.
And Buzz, your girlfriend. Woof.
Nice.
All right, guys. Have yourself a merry and happy holiday and Christmas.